phone and you walk around virtual galleries that the Met has put together specifically for this. They've gathered together some famous paintings which you can approach, look at with X-ray eyes, as it were. You look at the art and you can answer quizzes or do puzzles and unlock the work, and then you can borrow certain works for 15 minutes and hang them virtually in your room by holding your phone up, and it's as though the work appears on your wall, and then you can take a picture of that and share it with your friends on social. My first guest was Ken Wine, and he talked about what the Metropolitan Museum of Art wanted to achieve by opening themselves up, and particularly during a pandemic when they're operating with very limited numbers, and also when people like us in Portland, our main museum is closed. So this is an interesting art experience you can have for free with when you have a lot of time on your hands. Thanks for doing Art Focus, Ken.
Thanks so much for having me.
I love what you've done to the museum to make it accessible, particularly because in Portland, you know, our museum was open, then it closed again, then it opened again, and now it's closed till April. So this gives, you know, the average person a chance to get a good poke around the Met without going anywhere. One of the first things I saw when I went in was these paintings, Gauguin's The Siesta, Vincent van Gogh's Wheatfield with Cypresses. So these are, you know, these are pretty well-known artists, pretty well-known paintings too. Tell us about how the curators decided what to use.
Oh, this has been a lovely, inspiring, but difficult project, in the sense that the Metropolitan Museum of Art here in Fifth Avenue, we have 2 million square feet and 1.5 million pieces across 17 curatorial departments. We pride ourselves as being one of a handful of encyclopedic museums around the world representing art from 5,000 years. So when we first started talking with Verizon about this project, yes, the not so novel idea was, in a time when people can't visit, can't travel, let's give them a creative way to experience the museum. Sounds great, but now the reality of, okay, we can't replicate all 2 million square feet, we can create four virtual wings. Then we got to the hard part of, how do you do that? So we put a bunch of curators through lots of different meetings and, you know, narrowed the works down to hit the right balance between being representative of the encyclopedic museum, but being, you know, reasonable in the amount of work. So we think that they came to a really nice place. But like all things at the Met, it's complicated in a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. With the Gauguin piece, you know, it talks about how he used flat blocks of color for the bodies of the women who are sitting, you know, having their siesta, whereas the background painting is more varied and more sort of tonal. And then there's a little puzzle, and you have to, it's like, you know, a word search kind of thing. You have to put together a word. I won't spoil it by telling you what it is. And then with the Vincent one, you have to guess, we'll sort of assess which colors were most used in the painting and rank them. There's five in a row. Why were those engagement activities chosen, the word and then the ranking colors?
Sure. What we did for this project is we wanted to make the collection accessible, but to do that on several levels. So for many of these works, we have different types of games for individual pieces. So there are questions about art history for the wonky art historians among us. There are questions about color for the more people who want to engage more visually. There are questions that bring up the scientific research behind the X-ray technology we've brought to individual pieces to reveal layers of paint on an individual work. So we wanted to give people different access points to examine an individual piece, because that's the way our professional staff engages with work.
Generally, you know, someone walks around a gallery and they maybe give each painting a minute and they read the card and move on. This kind of engagement, it does keep you there. You know, you could be, I was struggling with the Van Gogh's color scheme for like 5 minutes because I kept forgetting the order I'd done it in. And every time I got one wrong, I was sent back to the beginning. And, you know, at least now I remember the painting. Was there any science behind this, or was it just people's ideas in the museum?
You know, the Met, we have curators and conservators and scientists who examine these work and educators, but we are not cutting edge technology people. And that was where the partnership with Verizon came in. And what was super interesting was we take a piece like the iconic Washington Cross the Delaware, and you put the technology people in the room, they can have Washington do 100 different things. He could get out of the boat, he could tip the boat over. And the debate was, okay, what would be appropriate to have the temerity to do to this individual piece? In this case, waves and wind and kind of an access, doing fun things with nature was the answer. But that type of conversation where you're getting technology leaders talking to curators and conservators is really, really fun. And I like your point about how much time you were spent engaging with the work. We all the time look at how long people spend in the museum. The answer is about an hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours. And anything we can do to extend that experience online is important.
You divide the collection into these four rooms, you know, virtual rooms. One of the themes is nature. There's a scroll number 3 by, I guess he was a court painter for Kanji, an emperor who went on a tour, and the artist produced these many scrolls, sort of pen and ink drawings, right, on silk. Exactly. So we get to see that and kind of zoom in, which is nice because a fairly high resolution image. That is a bit like being there and getting your nose right up against the glass. Are there any other visual aids that the museum is going to add to this online experience? And I know it's only supposed to last 5 weeks, but I guess at the end of it, you're not going to just delete it.
I would argue that your engagement with those ink drawings is deeper than at least my experience when I'm working through a gallery, and I'm kind of flying through a gallery. We're trying here to innovate on the digital front. And yes, we do have great ambitions for how we can expand this quantitatively and qualitatively and invite users to ask questions, invite guests to curate rooms. It was no small thing to go to curators, literally spend their entire career figuring out which paintings should be adjacent to which paintings it's appropriate for a gallery.
Really?
We did, yes, we did. And there's a lot of political choices. I mean, where Washington Cross the Delaware resides is next to a bust of Andrew Jackson. As we talk this inauguration week with another, you know, a president who was impeached, is that appropriate to have Andrew Jackson in the gallery with Washington Cross the Delaware? It's also adjacent to commentary from Native Americans on the same walls. Like, those are really important political, historical, artistic judgments in how we are creating this quickly, digitally, you know, a different, we don't have themed galleries at the Met on nature. We have galleries devoted to individual curatorial areas. So what's interesting about it is it shows how, yes, it may be easy to create these things online digitally, but you are dealing with very complex topics that have to be done carefully.
You know, curator doesn't want to make a faux pas when they're even doing a digital gallery. Is that right?
Oh, boy. To their great credit, our curatorial team takes this work really seriously. We're often asked the question at the Met, the Louvre has the Mona Lisa. What's your Mona Lisa? And our answer to that is, this is America. This is an encyclopedic collection. We don't have a Mona Lisa. We have a collection of so-called Mona Lisas across the museum. We intentionally design, this is not a knock against the Louvre. The Louvre is an incredible museum. We do not design the Met Museum experience to be about marching your way down one set of marble corridors to see one painting. We intentionally have people arrive in the Great Hall, be inspired by architecture, and then they got to select which of our wings they're going to go to and which of the 17 curatorials they're going to engage with. We tried to bring a little taste of this, and we think it's quite a significant taste. It's dozens of works asking hundreds of questions across different types, kind of tapping into different types of knowledge. But it really is just the tip of the iceberg.
I thought when I went around the Temple of Dendur in that little room, very Minecrafty. I mean, you could be walking inside these temples. If it was a bit more high res and a bit more, you know, maybe 6G or 7G, it could be like a video game. It could be very immersive. Can you just say why you picked a temple?
Oh, well, the Temple of Dendur, it's hard to resist. It is one of our iconic pieces. It has a tremendous history. You know, we've had it now for about, I guess, it's been assembled in that location for 50 years. It was about 57 years ago where Egypt was industrializing, and they were creating a dam on the Nile River that was going to indeed flood four Egyptian temples. And one of them was so-called rescued by UNESCO and given as a gift from the Egyptian government to the United States. And one of the conditions of it was it would reside in a place that was accessible, visible 24 hours a day. So our Temple of Dendur sits in a enormous gallery with a huge glass wall that you could roll out of bed and walk through Central Park and see it 24 hours a day. So we couldn't resist that.
How many people, you said you rolled out of bed the other day and checked online. How many people were doing this experience?
So sure enough, it was a Tuesday morning and I logged on to the Men Unframed, and at 8 a.m. New York time, there were 20,000 people on the experience. The idea that to roll out of bed and see that 20,000 people are experiencing the Met virtually, answering questions to games, looking at work, trying to download them. It really makes lemonade out of lemons for this experience that all of us have been dealt with the pandemic.
Why does the digital exhibit have to finish after 5 weeks?
This whole thing is a pilot, and 5 weeks seemed like a decent length to enable people to access it, to learn a bunch from it, and to evaluate and move on from there.
So you could do a longer version of it or a permanent version?
Absolutely, we can do a permanent version. You know, for us in all museums, we need to think of digital as another so-called branch of the institution. And there's many innovations that are coming from the incredibly frustrating reality that we can't have people travel to New York. 70% of the people who visit the Met come from outside the New York area. We had attendance records in 2018 and 2019 for the first time ever, being over 7 million visitors. An average day is 20,000 visitors. We were closed for 5 months. Now we are hosting about 4,000 people a day. So we have to find ways to satisfy our mission, which is to bring art to people and people to art. And this is one innovative way we can do it. This is a 5-week trial. We'll learn from it and we'll go on ahead from there.
My name is Joseph Galliman, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Ken Wine. He's the Chief Communications Officer at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, and he was talking about the Met Unframed. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Ken.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
My second guest this week is Jason Legg. He's a senior creative producer at Unit 9. That's the production company that made the Met Unframed. Jason is based in Toronto, Canada. I talked to Jason by Zoom, and we talked a lot about the technology behind the Met Unframed. One thing that struck me was it felt a bit like Google Maps, how you click on a triangle and sort of lurch forward within the experience to the next space and then turn or go closer to work of art. And wandering around the Temple of Dendur, it felt like being in a video game. This is what Jason had to say.
Yeah, there is a quicker way that you can get the art, but you know, like anything we do at Unit 9, like everything is designed with intention. And you kind of nailed it, Joseph. Like, it does feel very reminiscent, if you're familiar with something like Google Maps, like specifically like Street View. And the reason we replicated that was so that we wouldn't have to, you know, teach somebody a new behavior for absolutely everything that they're going to be doing with this website.
Yeah.
Because it was very kind of like new. And we were already asking a lot of the audience, you know, to learn. I think there's 8 different game mechanics, you know, that are very contextual. That you'll have to pick up and like ensure if you want to like unlock some of the artwork. So we wanted to keep the actual navigation very on rails and familiar. If you're going to the website for the first time, themetonframe.com, we want every user to kind of experience walking into the Great Hall as like the first thing they see in the experience. Again, that's by intention. That's because that's where we have like a lot of the tutorials where we get to explain what the experience is about and like how you can interact and what like the end goal and payoff for participating with it will be. And that's also deliberate because that's how you experience art in the Met in the real world too. You all enter through like those kind of great hall. You see the beautiful kind of iconic stairways that, you know, most people may be familiar with from events like the Met Gala and other things that they've seen televised or celebrities involved with. But if you're just like a patron of the arts and you're going to the Met for the first time, you are overwhelmed, I would say, like as someone who's only been to the Met in person twice, just to see like this beautiful storied old building, you know, in the center of like a very, very modern city like New York. So we didn't want to take that away or dilute it. That was a very, very deliberate decision. But to your other question, yeah, there. Once you come back, you'll pick up right where you left off. And there's even a map in the top corner that allows you to kind of fast travel to use like game vernacular to any of the galleries within the wing.
Jason, the galleries have been split into 4 categories. So what are they?
The 4 galleries that you're going to be able to explore that have been curated by the Met's like official curatorial team are Power, Nature, Journey, and Home. All 4 of them are kind of like emblematic of, you know, the time that we were curating the work.
For instance, there's a painting by Cezanne. It's called Madame Cezanne. And the activity you do is you go up to it and you look closely. There's a kind of X-ray version of it. You can flip between looking at the painting and then looking at I think it's an X-ray, and you're looking for 5 underdrawings. So, you know, what was Cezanne doing before he finished the painting? What does that kind of engagement do, do you think? It made me look closely at the painting, but it didn't make me know much more about the subject.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. Like, it is like kind of a gamified thing, I think. The same way that anybody walking into an art gallery in person will have like a very varied experience of like the artwork and the yeah. relationship. And that's informed not only by its placement next to the other art, but like what gallery they were exploring before, maybe even what they ate for lunch that day. You know, it's kind of an unknown kind of variable that we're always trying to account for,
yeah.
Which is why we try to make a little something for everybody. So if you're not that invested in the games, if you're just kind of brute forcing your way through it, you're not reading the description or the hints along the way, you can do that. You can get the art. You can post it to your social media. That's great. You'll have like a fun takeaway. You said you did that. That's the experience you wanted. That's the experience you got.
There's a Johannes Vermeer painting called Maid Asleep, which is a, mm-hmm. you know, a serving maid. She's had a glass of wine. Now she's having a nap at the table. It does make things more memorable, I think, more than just a little card next to a painting saying who did it and when. There's sort of making you dwell for a while and sort of scavenger hunt style, look for 5 things. You know, there must be some science behind the fact that interaction aids with at least memory.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some of the other actions? For instance, you can collect, kind of spot the hieroglyphic in the Egyptian room, and then you swipe different layers of carved people and try and match the heads to the torsos and the legs,
etc. Yeah, there's 8 full games that you can experience, and they vary from the X-ray kind of underdrawing behavior that you've already talked about. There's some where it's the painting is scrambled and you have to arrange it like a puzzle into like the correct orientation to complete it. And there's others like the one you just described for the Temple of Dendor, where it feels very much like, you know, Tomb Raider or Indiana Jones, where, you know, we're trying to create something that's a little bit more magical to breathe personality into the room, not that it needed any help. Everything we did had very strict kind of like guidelines and understanding that were informed by, you know, the Met. Every game had to kind of deepen somebody's understanding or education about the artwork. So that mix and match game I just described, the puzzle configuration where you're just arranging tiles of famous paintings, may feel very juvenile, but like if you do all of those kind of mix and match composition games, you're going to learn kind of like a deeper meaning about the, you know, patterns that exist throughout eras, movements, and artists. Mm-hmm. So you can see how like the rule of thirds has been applied for centuries, what it means, and then hopefully the kind of meta story for anybody engaging with multiple works of art will be that they can recognize that the next time they're lucky enough to see these works in person.
Do you think, you know, working with fine arts, do you think that this could be expanded? Other museums could do this, right? You know, the Louvre and the Prado and the Tate. What does it really take? Does it just take a ton of money from someone like Verizon?
I don't think it takes a ton of money. I think it takes a willingness to want to do something innovative, and so it just takes courage, you know, like anything kind of cool and fun to do, like some anything that no one's done before, it takes like a little nudge or a leap of faith to do.
Yeah. If another big gallery said, yes, we want one of these, you know, this year too, how long would it take to make the second one?
I mean, it really depends on what the scope of the project is and how serious and it, like they would be to do it.
Is this kind of weeks of work or months?
Oh, it's months of work. It's months and months of work. And especially like the bigger the you know, the system you're working within, like Verizon's one of America's biggest companies. The Met is America's most well art institution. So like it takes a, like not just like a lot of like work from like the artists at Unit 9, you know, the curators at the Met or like the production team at Verizon. It takes like a lot of work just to manage the approvals and to get all the stakeholders on it.
Briefly, tell us about Toronto.
Toronto is a beautiful, thriving metropolis. I think it's North America's third biggest city behind mm-hmm. New York and Los Angeles. I've always been like a member of both the ROM and the AGO. The Art Gallery of Ontario and the Royal Ontario Museum are just such like important mainstays of people's daily life. They're right in the middle of the city. They frequently have like public tours and, it's just great. Like the collection is getting better and we have a lot of, it's all designed by Toronto native Frank Gehry too, both institutions.
Yeah.
So they're both, stunning to walk into, to see the modern art. It's both buildings are themselves the work of modern art. So that differs a lot from like the Met, which is like a very classic museum, like when you close your eyes and picture like a great museum, that's what it looks like. But it's also nice to have something that's a little bit, funkier and cool in my city, which is like, barely 60 years old when you look at some of the architecture.
And you're familiar with Portland, right? You've been here a bit.
Yeah, I love Portland.
What were you doing here?
I was lucky enough to be flown out on several occasions for work, either working with Nike or Adidas. Portland is also one of the most creative cities in the world, with Wieden and Kennedy has like a really strong ad agency out there. RGA does some like their best work from their Portland office. Like it's this creative hub. And I think that Portland is an excellent reflection of like the creativity that they've curated, for lack of a better word.
Finally, when the pandemic's over, which bits of being cooped up at home are you going to keep and which bits are you going to discard? Like, what can't you wait to do?
In terms of work?
Yeah. Are you going to, do you miss like business travel or are you?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like a lot of the perks of my job came in the form of travel. I'm a relatively newcomer to Unit 9. Like I started in September of 2019. As a byproduct of that, I haven't met anybody that worked on this project except for Evie when I got to go to the UK. The thing I miss most and like can't wait to get back to isn't just travel, but it's being in the same room with other creatives to be able to collaborate and brainstorm outside of like a conference call. Because that's, where some of the best ideas, and it's a testament to both, not just Unit 9, but to Verizon and the Met, that they were able to pivot so seamlessly to doing this kind of like creative undertaking in, you know, essentially our rooms, hiding from our families at the time.
It does make me wonder, you know, when we can all travel again, are we going to think, okay, I'm in New York, do I really want to go to LA, or can I just do this by video? Salespeople will probably say, yes, I must go, because that's how they operate. But creative people, you know, tend to work in the middle of the night, or they, you know, they can send a file overnight and then somebody else works on it the next day. How do you think creative people will change their kind of workflow?
I don't know. I don't think anything can replace human interaction. You know, at Unit 9, we foster out of necessity this need for collaboration in all things, right? There's nothing worse than that stereotype of like a creative disappearing into his office or staying up all night to come up with that big idea. Like work is better the more people feel like a part of it and a part of the decisions that are being made. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, we've always aimed to foster with Unit 9. And so there's nothing like, you know, the ability to get into a room and come to a consensus with your teammates, you know, for a project. Everyone at Unit 9 is just feeling so grateful for being, you know, chosen as the production partner by Verizon and the Met to bring this to life. And I really hope your listeners and everybody who's interested in it can experience the site. You know, email me if you find a bug.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Jason Legg. He's a senior creative producer at Unit 9, and that's the team behind The Met Unframed, which is a virtual and augmented reality version of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And The Met Unframed is available on your phone until February the 16th, 2021, for free. Thanks very much, Jason.
My pleasure, Joseph. Nice meeting you.
Andy Warhol loves a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
WOO Portland en el 90.7 FM y a través de la internet en kboo.fm.
A la hora que me llamen por...